Okay, so hello everybody and welcome back to the podcast. Today I thought, to be honest, I bought a nice new microphone, which I'm pumped about. I guess I have about 8,000 microphones. That's actually really annoying that I do, but they're just scattered in all different like parts of the world, which if you think about it is kind of the, you know, the story of my existence, where Flagstaff, Belfast, London. But actually that brings up a really good, like, I don't know how this is going to be made relevant to you guys, because not many people like me are bouncing around as much. But one thing that has led to, you know, I'm getting distracted, but I woke up this morning and my Whoop, for example, recovery score was like amazing, you know, like 98%. And it's been that really good score for probably like quite a while now, even though like I'm training fairly hard, you could say, and I'm pushing. And so like my legs are tired, but recovery side of things is actually still going really well. And the only reason I sort of say that is because at first I'm kind of like, not like in shock or not like surprised, or maybe both of those things, but it's kind of like, yeah, of course your recovery score is good because you're just staying in the same place. You're, you know, committed to this training plan. You're not veering off it. You're not adding extra things in. You're doing things at the right intensity. You're getting good sleep at night. You're not working in the garden all day. That is pretty cool to then see that materialize into, you know, call Whoop whatever you want, or all these sleep trackers and that sort of thing. I think they're great. You know, you don't have to. But what is cool to see is that consistency with recovery when you're not just jumping around. And so I actually had a flight on Tuesday, probably early evening, and I was going to fly back to Belfast, and I didn't necessarily have to fly back to Belfast. Like, I didn't have anything that I needed to go do, if that makes sense. Like I could go, and if I did go, there was things that I like could have done, but I didn't need to, was probably the best way to look at it. And so I had booked the flight maybe like 10 days before, and you know, that was kind of always the plan, come to England for 7 to 10 days and you know, train with some company and get to run in the parks and that sort of thing, like just change things up a little bit. But then I kind of just sort of realized that I don't think I need to like dart off, you could say, you know, back to Belfast. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But it was just a decision well made, and it now obviously allows for good recovery. And instead of being on planes and you know, with me, I'm telling you, when I travel, I have all this luggage. I have to travel like I don't know that I'll ever go back to that place. It's ridiculous. And so I tend to just be tired and stuff. So that was kind of really fun to see, just to see that flying or not flying and just staying in the same place, just sticking to the plan and executing training in the right way and hitting those, you know, right intensities, that now as a sort of result of that, that, you know, the training is working, so I'm faster, but also to see the recovery stuff like come in like good, I suppose you could say, like that's kind of cool as well. So that was a very long way of telling you that I guess it's really just making the training the priority. And if you have everything you need, you know, possibly to put other things a little bit on hold. So I don't just make a decision to stay in England because I think, you know, well, first of all, I found a good rhythm. And if you do find a good rhythm, I think as a runner, it's really important to like protect that rhythm, is what I would say. And so what I sort of mean by that is, if you find yourself in a good routine and, you know, maybe you're hitting good times and maybe your training is going well, it's usually a good idea to just, you know, it sounds silly, but like ride that wave. And I don't know in your context what that'll mean, if it means you join a group, if it means, you know, you, the way your current structure is, maybe 3 days a week, 4 days a week, maybe you do tempo on the treadmill, I don't know. But if you find a sort of pattern that just seems to be clicking for you and things are kind of getting better, it's sometimes a really good idea to just keep that flow. And often I'll find a bit of a flow like that, and then I'll, you know, think of this great idea. This could make things better, or this could make things better. Or if I go to this place, it could make things better. And then often when you travel, or maybe you change the training a little bit, or maybe you add something in, or take something away, and suddenly you can see it almost instantaneously, that flow, that rhythm, that consistency that you were building, and it was probably building something really special. Well, suddenly it's just disrupted, and within that disruption has like caused that consistency and that pattern and that rhythm to just not be as good. And I don't always do a good job of that, but I would certainly preach it. If you find a good rhythm and you find something that's working, it doesn't really matter what it is. Like that's a really interesting thing about running. Like it's cool to do a podcast today because I kind of know what I'm doing now, if that makes sense. So I think for 2 months, maybe January, February, even December, sorry, I just was so unsure of what I was doing. And obviously that sounds ridiculous. And I knew I was trying to get things going in a good direction post Dublin, getting all that recovery taken care of. But I knew I wanted to try and make the Olympics. I knew that at some point I would have to run a marathon and run fast, right? And so that was always the agenda. That was always the goal. But I didn't really know where, I didn't know when, you know, and that just had to happen, you know, not necessarily by itself, but like I can't rush the process of perhaps seeing when the body will fully recover from Dublin, or seeing, you know, how things will develop in terms of what times will other people run in races, like, you know, my competition. There's only, I think it's 80 spots available. And if you know, a lot of people run the qualifying times and things like this, well, my strategy to, you know, qualify for the Olympics was heavily based on the point system. And the reason I picked that was because I knew if you ran close to like 2:10 for a marathon twice, you'd be in a really good position to be at the Olympics, because that's difficult to do, right? That's very difficult to do. And so that was my strategy. My strategy was that if I talk about like trying to run like maybe like 208 or something like this for the marathon, or 207, it's not necessarily that I doubt my ability to be able to do that. But in order to do that, you need help, is what I would say. And that's kind of like ridiculous. So it's like, okay, well, you know, why don't you get help? Why don't you, this help that you're talking about, why don't you seek that? Why don't you go get that? And so that help would be training with, you know, people that are at a level above you. And so what happens is you naturally have to like elevate your game, you could say, or your performances to match what they're doing, right? And so normally when you jump in a system like that, one or two things happen, right? You elevate yourself, you train that level a bit harder, you know, you've perhaps gone somewhere new to train with these people, like my friend Jack Rowe, who's just gone to Albuquerque, New Mexico to train with his Puma team, and now he's in North Carolina. It worked for Jack. He's just after ran, you know, the Olympic qualifying time, sub 13:05. But for every example of an athlete that it worked for, there's probably 10 athletes that it didn't, right? And so my, can I run 207, 208 for a marathon? I certainly believe I can, but I know from experience that you, within running, you can't always control when you do a session, or when you go to altitude, or when you go join a team of athletes to train with. You can't really control and say very specifically what's going to happen when that training is done and you come back, right? So I had the option to go to Ethiopia, and I was going to train with Bashir Abdi, who, you know, is Olympic medalist, world medalist. I trained with him in Font-Rémy before Dublin. It certainly elevated my performance at Dublin. There's no doubt about that. But if we look at those two scenarios, to compare France, Font-Rémy, with Ethiopia is, I don't know the phrase, is it apples and oranges? In other words, very different scenario. France, I've been to before. It's worked for me before. I know the place. I know the food. I know the travel. It's a simple one for me. Ethiopia, one of the athletes that went and trained with Bashir, he just ran the Olympic qualifying time at Seville. It can work. But Suldan from Sweden is actually African, and he's from these areas, used to the food, used to the culture, used to, you know, that setup. Myself, you know, not African, I might not be okay with, this sounds ridiculous, but like no Wi-Fi for a month, right? And that, again, sounds ridiculous, but, and I'm not trying to act spoilt, or I'm not trying to act high maintenance. For God's sake, I just ordered a bloody memory foam topper for my bed in London. And I'm giggling because that's the world I live in, right? I'm constantly seeking little small margins with like recovery or just being comfortable. Or for God's sake, I just ordered another bloody microphone. And I hate to sound ridiculous, and I hate to sound petty, and I hate to be like that, but Ethiopia might not have worked for me if I just found myself, like, I don't know, in my head all day because I don't have the running school stuff I can work on, or I don't have the YouTube stuff that I work on. I might be in my head too much and it might not work for me. So can I run 207, 208? I think so. I don't think that's like a big stretch, but I do know, and I know I just ran 211 at Dublin, and I know that's not 208. But Dublin isn't the fastest course in the world. It's a good course, but it's not necessarily the fastest course in the world. Did I run a lot of Dublin by myself? Yes, is the answer to that. Probably from 4 or 5 miles, almost all the way to the finish line. So, I mean, I ran beside people or in front of people and they sat on me, but I didn't really have help. So in these marathons where guys are running 207, 208, around my level, well, they are a level above me, but the level I'd like to be at, they're in these packs of 5 to 10 athletes, you know? You're looking at like 4 to 7 mile per hour wind. You're looking at lovely temperature. So it's not a massive fitness level increase beyond where I'm currently at, but still. So I genuinely believed that my best chance of qualifying for the Olympics was to go and run 2 very consistent marathons. The good thing about Dublin was, because it's the national championships, there was the bonus points on offer. The bonus points are worth about 2 minutes to 2.5 minutes of time. So if you can run, you know, just to make it simple, if you can run 2:12 at Dublin, it's kind of worth 2:10 or a bit quicker if you can run 2:12 at Dublin and you get your bonus points, it's worth a bit quicker. And so that's like, yeah, it was worth it for me. But that's that. Now what I have to do is perform at that level again, like to back the Dublin performance up. It's most of the quicker marathons are now over, you could say. Valencia being, okay, I don't want to start upsetting people to think there's not more quick marathons coming up. There's plenty of quick marathons coming up, you know, Hamburg, Rotterdam, Paris, London. These are all fast marathons. If I haven't named your marathon there, I'm sorry, but like even Manchester's now a very fast marathon. There is a lot of fast marathons coming up. What I'm talking about is 2 marathons very specific, which is Valencia and Seville. And by fast, I mean around the 207 to 210 area. You're finding a lot of athletes in that range, a lot. Like you're lucky if you're in shape and you're ready to go in those marathons. And so I was desperately trying to hope that things would, you know, click for me. And And by all accounts, like they did, like, don't get me wrong, like, January was a really good month for me. And, you know, I kind of went from, here's this athlete that, you know, was struggling at the beginning of January, if I'm honest. Like, I didn't do anything wrong to cause this struggle, but I just came back from Flagstaff and just, you know, maybe it had nothing to do with Flagstaff. I think I was texting my friend Steve the other day, and one thing I said to him was, you know, we think that running is so calculated. We think that, like, we can figure out based on the training we've done, based on, like, I don't know, just where we're at in everything. We think that we can calculate what we should be doing in terms of numbers when we're out there running, speed, heart rate, this kind of thing. And it's like, well, no, like, maybe you weren't, you know, running as well in that month of the year, whether it was January, whether it was February, because you were still recovering from, you know, that race that you did. Perhaps there wasn't this magic formula. Perhaps Flagstaff had nothing to do with it. Perhaps, you know, the training that you were doing right at that moment in time, again, it's not that it wasn't working. It's that you're just not a robot. So because you're not a robot, because you're human, well, then you've got to be patient with it. And so sometimes are we the kings and queens of I'll fix that, you know, I'll fix this. I know what to do. I'm going to do this and it's going to fix it. And then you try that and maybe it doesn't quite click, and then you try something else. And actually all that might have happened, instead of fixing it, you might just find that you actually have now recovered from that previous race or work stress or life stress. And then things start to click and they start to look good and you start moving a bit better and you start to flow a little bit better. And being the human, you think that it was you and you think that you really figured it out. And it's like, no, probably just like a bit more time had passed and it allowed you to then be in this better place. And that's sometimes the hardest part of all this, is just to trust that if you just keep chipping away each day, that it will likely get to that place where you want it to be. But because we constantly want to fix things, and we constantly want to rush things, and we constantly want to have this level of control, we need to know the way to fix it. We need to know the remedy. We need to know when it's going to be fixed. And sometimes it genuinely just takes time, and there's no number on that, no specific thing you can do. Just, you have to just trust and just keep chipping away at what you're doing. And then suddenly it turns a corner and it's like, nice, there we go. Now the body's starting to move a bit better. Now I'm starting to be a little bit quicker on those runs. And I was hopeful that, you know, God, I wanted to do Valencia in December. And it was kind of annoying because it was like, this is another year where I'm going to watch Valencia tick by. But you can't do Dublin and Valencia, right? I might have been capable of doing Dublin and Seville for sure. But actually, when I came back to London in January, Seville just wasn't on the cards. Honestly, like, you can't, I still clung to it, like maybe it was, but you can't go to a track and not be able to do K reps at the speed that you then want to race a marathon in about 6 or 7 weeks time. Yet I was still hopeful. I did these K reps. I wasn't able to finish the session. I come away, I'm like, oh my God. But I'm still thinking, I'll still be ready. And there's a kind of like an arrogance to that, where it's like, if someone else was asking me like what I thought, like, you know, they had done the same and they'd say to me, do you think in 5-6 weeks time I could be ready? I'd probably tell them that they'd lost their mind. But for some reason with me personally, there's this like arrogance, like, I could do it, my body will be capable. And then 9 times out of 10 it's not, and then I end up disappointed and you know, gutted. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't really ever give yourself a chance. So cut a long story short, all I did in January, which I've already told you guys about, was get things going again, you know, go repeat some of the patterns that I've done in the past where it's created, you know, a positive, you know, outcome. I don't always know the science to it. I don't always know the how it creates this beautiful outcome. But it's like, you know, I told you already, I don't need to repeat loads of it. But when I go to the park and I do a quicker tempo and I do that kind of once a week or once every 10 days, things move forward. I do some of these, you know, double thresholdy type things, again, things can move forward. I do some harder reps, maybe like hills, maybe, you know, like some harder stuff on the track, some quicker stuff, like some strides, some sprints at the track where I actually get myself moving quite quickly. Things move forward. So I sort of had made this choice where I think I said something like, you know, sometimes when you change your training a little bit, you almost go backwards before you go forwards. And the whole principle behind that wasn't that you were actively trying to lose anything, but you were perhaps accepting that some days of the week you could have done something slightly different and been in a better place, but you're going to, you know, do more of a hopefully this pays off later down the line type training. And that's like, that's great. and I'm all for that sometimes. But then I sort of changed that to, no, you know, kind of sorry, but like, fuck that. I kind of just decided that I wanted to, when I was training, when I was doing something, I wanted to extract quite a lot from that day. And I appreciate that some of this other stuff, you know, honestly, I bought into it. I was in. But then I kind of thought to myself, kid, you don't necessarily have time to, you know, show up for the next 2-3 months and hope that it pays off a year from now, because the Olympics is happening. Whether you like it or not, the Olympics is happening. Whether you make it or not, it's happening. There's a deadline here. And so there's still a balance in the training where I've preached about this before, but some of it is geared at, you know, this long-term fitness. And that's probably your like thresholdy type days, the double threshold, you know, sometimes steady runs, the initial marathony type work where you're doing, I think I did 3x5K. I've done it 2 weeks in a row. The first week I just did it at a probably a rhythm and a pace, not so much at a controlled intensity. And then week two, I did it at the like controlled intensity. So it's like, it's kind of a mixture of both, where the first time I do it, I don't really care too much about intensity, because on race day, I don't really believe in numbers and intensity and somebody telling me what level I can run at or can't. It's like, really? Like, how the fuck do you know? Like, I'm the one out there. I'm the one doing it. How can you tell me like what I can run at, what intensity, what blah, blah, blah. But then I still every now and again like science and believe in certainly parts of science in terms of developing physiology. You know, it certainly does seem to work for a lot of athletes. So it's that balance between sometimes accepting that there's paces and efforts and speeds that you just, as a matter of fact, need to get better at running at. And sometimes the only way to get your body better at running at a specific pace or a certain effort is to expose your body to that pace and effort. So there will be some work done at pace and effort, and hopefully the body will get more efficient and better at handling it, both from a mechanical standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, from everything. It'll just get more used to running at that effort and speed. Then you have to also come from the other side. So sometimes science will play a role. And if they say, the book or whatever, or science says, by running at, you know, this intensity, by running at this lactate, by running at blah, 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 you get benefits. Awesome. So we'll do some of that too. But if when we're doing that, it means we have to run slower than marathon pace, for example, well, I feel like you have to then top that up with work above and at that marathon pace, because it's like, I don't always want to get my body used to running slower. Even though I appreciate on race day, you're going to be tapered and you're going to feel better and you know, the nerves, the adrenaline, you are going to run a bit quicker. But still, from a mechanical perspective, it's good to train at the pace that you want to be able to race at. I think that's where science has to meet practical, okay? So I'm going to wrap it up in the next, well, probably 5 minutes, because I have to get going and go train. I'm probably going to be late. I'm definitely going to be late. What is happening now when I say I kind of know the plan now is I'm going to do Lisbon half marathon. Lisbon. I wanted to do a race, but I wanted to be you know, just somewhat prepared the race rather than just the way I'd explain my fitness right now is it's kind of really good. Apologies. It's really good general fitness. So like generally speaking, I'm really fit. And if you look at some things on Strava, it might be like, yeah, nice. Like that's looking pretty good. But if anyone follows my Strava and they follow it like religiously, let's say like properly, and they really look at it. If I said I'm going to race anything right now from 10K to marathon, it would be difficult to find sessions at those speeds or intensities, right? So there's been threshold work, there's been hills, you know, there's been like steady long run, for example. But it's kind of like, but yeah, like where's the 5x2K at 10K effort? Where's the like 6x1 mile at 10K effort, right? And then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to race like a half marathon. And it's like, oh, nice, great. That's cool, Stephen. Where's the 4x2 mile at half marathon pace? Where's the like 3x3 mile at half marathon pace? Have you done a 6 to 8 mile, maybe progressive effort where you're trying to finish at race pace or maybe even quicker? And it's kind of like, oh, right, yeah. So if I were to cash in right now and I were to go race, it wouldn't do the training justice because I've built this amazing foundation. And this foundation might be better than, you know, some other athletes. It might be, you might go race, you might get beat by a few athletes, and actually your base of work, your foundation is better than theirs. But they did the 3 to 4 key sessions. And that in those key 3 to 4 sessions is when you move things on, is when you really get yourself prepared for that race. And so the gun will go, and I'll set off and I'll be like, fuck, what is this? Like, I haven't done this. I haven't done like a longer tempo. I haven't done like mile reps at race pace or 2 mile reps at race pace. Like, shit, this sucks. And it's not that you're not capable in maybe 3 or 4 weeks time, having done some of those key sessions. You're just not capable that day. You've already kind of earned the personal best. It's sitting there, but you need to bring it out of yourself by doing that specific work. That's the key to this. So, but then without the base phase, without the foundation work, you can't think by doing 4 or 5 key sessions, it's going to create this brilliant result. That's the key to all this. You kind of need both for a big, big result. The bigger the base, with some key sessions, it can develop this really good peak, you know? You can do it the other way where you do it like, I think the word would be coherently. So like together, but that's not really my approach. I do quite a long time of the base type stuff. Then when I start to see that it's going well, that I've kind of got the thresholdy stuff back to a good pace, that I'm just feeling good, then I start specific prep for whatever it is I want to race. So